Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Ephesians. I'm glad most people laughed. Amen. Some didn't. Well, I've got a little song for you to learn then, maybe after the service on the books of the Bible. On Sunday mornings, we've been journeying through this book of Ephesians, and we've come here to the really last part of the book, and I've enjoyed the series, and this last portion, too, the Lord has helped me as well with some areas that we'll see today. So Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 21. When you have it, if you don't mind standing with me, if you're able to stand, if you need to remain seated, please do so for health reasons, but let's read together here. I'll read and you listen. Ephesians 6, 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. That's a good finish to a book. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this day. It's a joy to be here in church. And Lord, as I preach the message that I believe you've led me to preach this morning, we all recognize that we need thee. Lord, I need you to preach. We need you as we listen. Please speak to our hearts. We pray that your Spirit, Lord, would have his will and way in our lives. Lord, you said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I pray those of us that do know you would listen, and all of us would as well. I do ask if someone's here today that is not saved, that you would convict them of their lost condition and realize the simplicity that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us that do know you, Lord, use this message to challenge us. We pray. We know we need challenging in these days. Please do so. Do the work that only you can do by your Spirit this morning. I yield myself to thee as best as I know how. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. On August 30th, 1919... a baby boy was born in Miles City, Montana. The boy was a very smart boy. I know what you're thinking. My boy's smart too. All right, I'll give you that. Every parent thinks that. But this boy would grow up and go to get his PhD in microbiology from the University of Chicago in 1944. After graduation, he went to work as a researcher at E.R. Squibb and Sons, and then later for a company that is today known as Merck and Company. During his career, he developed over 40 different vaccines for children, including a vaccine for the chickenpox, hepatitis A, hepatitis B, measles, meningitis, the mumps, and rubella. All of those were developed by this man. Matter of fact, out of the 14 vaccinations that are recommended for children today, 9 of them were developed by him. The New York Times said of this man that, quote, he saved more lives than any other scientist in the 20th century. According to one estimate, his vaccines saved nearly 8 million lives each year worldwide. And many have described this man as one of the most influential vaccinologists of all time. His name? Maurice Ralph Hillman. You say what I said. Who? Who? That's exactly my point. You know, most people have, and some I'm sure may have in this auditorium, but most people have never heard of this man. They've never heard his name. His name is not familiar to us. He never received a Nobel Prize for his work. He is, for the most part, relatively unknown. You think he'd be a household name, but he's not. You know, there are many people throughout the centuries in God's work that would fall into the same category. As a matter of fact, many Baptist preachers and evangelists and missionaries throughout history have suffered the same fate. Very few people have heard of them, although they've done some great things. I mean, many have done some wonderful things for God. They've been vital parts of ministries and churches around the world. And without them, God's work would not have advanced as it has. Yet their names are unknown. Their ministries often go unseen or unrecognized because they are perhaps behind the scenes type people, maybe less visible people. And really, unless we pay attention, we miss recognizing these faithful saints and the great part that they had in God's work. Now, that's what we find here in our text. Notice verse 21, "But that ye also may know my affairs, how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." Here in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, after this letter, six chapter letter, he is now finally penning his final words to this relatively young church there in the city of Ephesus, that heathen city, by the way. Now remember, Paul had penned this letter in the year 64 A.D., He has already completed three missionary journeys. He planted the church at Ephesus on his second missionary journey, revisited them on the third missionary journey, spent 3 years with this young church, teaching them the Word of God, grounding them in the Scriptures, serving right alongside them in the city of Ephesus. After he departed from that city, Paul was arrested in the city of Jerusalem. You remember the book of Acts, how he was brought before, first of all, the Sanhedrin, who could find no fault in him. And so he was brought before Felix, the Roman governor of Judea. He didn't know what to do with him. And so he sent Paul to Caesarea, where he spent 2 years sitting there in prison. They had no idea what to do with him. While he's there in Caesarea Maritime, he stood before Festus, the Roman governor that succeeded Felix. And then King Agrippa came with Bernice to talk to him as well, where at that time the Apostle Paul proclaimed his Roman citizenship, and he had appealed his case to Caesar. You appealed to Caesar? We will send you to Caesar then. And that's exactly what they did. They sent him to Rome. And when we come to the end of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul in the city of Rome under house arrest, where he was allowed to have a certain level of freedom there while he was awaiting for his trial there in the Roman court. During this time, we know what he did. He ministered to people that were allowed to come in and out, talking to them about the Lord, giving them the gospel. But he also used this time to write letters to churches and to individuals under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we know. And we read of his activity in Acts chapter 20. And why don't you turn there quickly, hold your hand in Ephesians chapter 6 here, and look back at Acts chapter 20, because the book of Acts ends with this, 28, ends with what he did, this summary. Notice Acts 28 and verse 30. "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God," verse 31, "and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence," notice, "no man forbidding him." So here he is under house arrest in Rome, and it was at this time that he begins to not only minister to people, but to write letters as well. The inspired letters that he wrote were to the church at Philippi. He wrote a letter to them. He wrote a letter to the church at Colossae. He wrote a letter to Philemon, a Christian at Colossae. And then he wrote this letter here to the church at Ephesus as well. If you'll remember, he begins this letter to the people at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, by reminding them of what they have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great salvation that they experienced. Then he reminded them in chapters 4 and 5 of the importance of living the Christian life in that place. And then in chapter 6, and we spent some time here, he reminded them of what is required if they are going to live the Christian life victoriously in this evil world. By the way, it's good advice for us as well. He told them to put on the whole armor of God. And we went through what that is. And then he told them in verse 18 to be in constant communication with our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, through prayer. And now we find that he has finished this letter. He ends it with the word amen. But the question is this, how is he going to get this letter that he just wrote from Rome, Italy, all the way to the Ephesians at that church in Ephesus, which is over 800 miles away? How is he going to make sure that this letter gets safely to its destination in a timely fashion? How's he going to do that? Here's how: a faithful man he's going to give it to. A man by the name of Tychicus. Who? Tychicus. It's a tricky name. I'll probably struggle with it throughout the message. This morning I want to preach on this thought. I'm going to do a little bit of a kind of a Bible study, if you don't mind, this morning on this man. But I want to ask you this question. Are you willing to be a Tychicus? Or do you have to be a Paul? It's a good question. You know, if you were to ask the average Bible reader, regular Bible reader, to list the 10 most familiar Bible characters, I guarantee you that none of them, I'd be surprised anyway, would name this man Tychicus. They say, oh yeah, Adam maybe, and you know, the first man, or Noah, and Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Joshua, David, and Daniel, Peter, and Paul, and all. Yeah, I guess. No, how about Tychicus? Not many would mention him. But you know, without men like this man, without men like this Tychicus, do you know the work of God would be sorely lacking? It absolutely would. And I would go as far to say this. We would not have the Pauls if it were not for men like Tychicus. We would not. You see, the work of God does take men like Paul, and Paul was called to a certain place, but it also takes men like Tychicus. And not just the Pauls, but also men like Tychicus, them together. And my question is, are you willing to be Tychicus if God hasn't called you to be a Paul? Because all of us should be. Now let's see what we can learn about this relatively obscure name or unknown man in the Word of God. What do we know about this man, and how can we learn of his life, and how would his life be a blessing to us? Notice number one, if you would, the activities of Tychicus. Now here's this man's name, and his name is not only mentioned here in the book of Ephesians. Actually, you'll find that if you did a study, maybe a search, a word search, you'd find that his name is mentioned 5 different times in the New Testament. We find him, we'll see all of these places, Lord willing. Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, we find him here in our text. We find his name in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. He's found in 2 Timothy 4:12 and Titus 3:12 as well. Now, who is this man? We know that Tychicus was a native of Asia. Asia, again, that's where Ephesus is. His name means this: fortuitous or unexpected. Perhaps, I don't know why, his parents would name him Tychicus, unexpected. Maybe he was one of those children that was born to older parents and he was kind of unexpected. Maybe he was one of those surprise babies, you know, and here he is, surprise, unexpected, Tychicus. Maybe that's what it was, I have no idea. Or maybe his name is reflective of his character or what they thought. Maybe they didn't think, you know, not too much is expected of this guy. Unexpected and so forth. Whatever the meaning of his name, understand, God used this man in a great way. In a wonderful way. And as we piece together these passages where we find his name, we learn some wonderful things about this humble servant of God and his activities, what he did. Tychicus was a busy man for God. He absolutely was. And we learn of four things that he did in the work of God. Here they are. Number one is this. He traveled with Paul. You say he did? Yeah, go back to Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at a bunch of places here, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 20 and verse 1. After Paul leaves Ephesus here, notice the uproar was ceased. Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. Acts 20 and verse 2. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia, here it is, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus. And Trophimus, these going before, tarried for us as at Troas. So here is the first time we find the name Tychicus in the Word of God. He enters the narrative here in Acts chapter 20. The year was about 59 AD, about 5 years before Paul wrote this letter. Paul was in the middle of his third missionary journey. He had just left Ephesus and he begins to travel. Look at a map. He goes up into Macedonia, which is where Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea was. Then he goes down into Greece, which is where Corinth was, and he spends 3 months there. Then he goes back up into Macedonia, and then he heads eastward back into Asia. And we find that Paul did not do all of this alone. He actually had a group of Christian men with him. You know, often we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of this renegade guy that was out there doing everything on his own. Far from the truth. There were a lot of people, several people with him for a very long time. And those that accompanied him are listed here in verse 4. Again, Sopater of Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus of Thessalonica, Gaius and Timothy, who were from Derbe, and Tychicus of Asia. So a part of Paul's missionary team as he ministered and traveled around was this man, Tychicus. So he traveled with Paul. There's a second thing we noticed that he did, and that was this. He transported 3 of the 4 prison epistles. Now, go over back to our text in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 22. Again, we see his name, just read that verse, whom, talking about Tychicus, I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he, Tychicus, might comfort your hearts. So here it is 5 years later from that scene in Acts chapter 20. Paul is under house arrest, as I already described. The year is 64 AD, and Paul has written 4 different letters. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And we know that 3 of those 4 letters were delivered by the hand of Tychicus. Look over at Colossians to the right, a few books over. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. Here is a letter to the Colossians. Again, same time frame as Ephesians. Look at verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. So we see Tychicus transported 3 of those letters. And Philemon, by the way, was a wealthy Christian leader in the church of Colossae. And Paul wrote to about Onesimus. And Tychicus was with Onesimus when they delivered that letter as well. So he delivered Ephesians and Colossians, and he was with Onesimus when the letter to Philemon went there as well. So he was entrusted to transport three of those four letters. There's a third thing I noticed he did. Go over to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And that was this. Tychicus was sent by Paul to Crete to replace Titus. You say, what do you mean by that? Titus chapter 3, notice verse 12. We read, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to win her. So now it's a year later, 65 AD, Titus is ministering on the island of Crete. He had been left there by the Apostle Paul to place pastors in those churches of believers that were all across the island. And Titus was having a difficult time in Crete. It was a very, very difficult place to minister. You remember, look at Titus 1:10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. And so Paul tells Titus here in this letter that he would send either Artemis or Tychicus to replace him, to take over that ministry, and Titus is to go over to Nicopolis. My point is this, Tychicus was a pretty busy dude. He was a busy man. He traveled with Paul. He transported three of those prison epistles. He was sent over to Crete some distance away to replace Titus. And then there's a fourth thing we find concerning his activity, and that is this. Go to 2 Timothy 4. It should be a little bit to your left there, a few pages. 2 Timothy 4, and that is this. Tychicus is sent by Paul from Rome to Ephesus to be a blessing to Timothy. So fast forward now, the year is 66 AD. Timothy is the pastor at the church of Ephesus. And notice 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So now, again, it is 3 years later. Paul is now in the Mamertine prison in Rome. He's no longer under house arrest. He was released. He ministered some more, and they arrested him again. The Roman Emperor Nero put him in jail. Now it's the Mamertine prison. That is that dungeon, that rat-infested place. He's there. He's never going to be released from there because Nero is going to behead him very shortly. And who do we find here with him even then? Tychicus. He's there with Paul. And Paul tells Timothy that he's about to depart, and the time of his departure is at hand. He's fought a good fight and so forth. And he says, I'm going to send you Tychicus, so he'll be a blessing to you. Again, I say, Tychicus was a busy man for God. And I said all that to say this. I believe that Tychicus was the type of Christian that would do anything and everything he could for the work of God. I believe he would. Anything. It didn't matter. I mean, whether the job seemed to be small in the eyes of man or large, he was the type of guy who just wanted to be involved. He wanted to do something for God. You know, Christians like Tychicus, bringing it forward to today, will do things like gladly clean the bathrooms. They don't care. They'll gladly set up tables and take them down, set up chairs and take them down. They'll gladly go around the property and pick up trash around the building. They don't see themselves as too big for any job, and they don't see themselves as too important for any job. You see, for Christians like Tychicus, they just want to serve. That's what he wanted to do. He just wanted to do anything. It didn't matter to him if he was noticed. He didn't have to be thanked. He didn't have to be begged to do things. He didn't have to be in the limelight. He didn't get upset if he was doing more than others were doing, or staying later than others, or arriving earlier than others. He didn't get upset about those things. I don't think he even looked at those things, because he was a man that just, hey, wanted to serve the Lord. He said, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. You didn't get upset about things, who gets the credit, or why you having me do this or that. He just wanted to serve. You know, kind of reminds me of, he's not the only one in the Bible like this, obviously, but it kind of reminds me of that household of Stephanas that Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians 16, when he said this, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they, the household of Stephanas, have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. A same type of person. They just wanted to serve. They just wanted to do something for God. They didn't want to sit sour and soak. They wanted to see God's work advance in this world. And so they said, hey, whatever you want me to do, I am in. Can I ask you something? Is that you? Are you like a Tychicus? We need them. You know, I've learned over the years that most Christians start out like Tychicus. You know, when you first get saved, you're just excited about the things of God, and you just think, man, I'll do anything. Preachers, or anything I can do for God. And you go soul winning, you hand out tracts, and you'll gladly clean the building. Whatever it takes, pick up trash. You say, I just want to do something for the Lord. Most Christians start out that way. But very few stay that way. And the reason, I think, is very simple. Could be many reasons. But I've found that the most common reason is that they take their eyes off of God and start to look at others. And they lose their joy of serving the Lord. You know, Psalm 100 verse 2 says this, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Every child of God should be willing and willingly, joyfully, and actively be serving the Lord all the days of our lives. Do you know that that's why we're here? Why did God leave us here? Not to make a name for ourselves, but to make known his name in this world. And every single person that's been born again has a place in God's work somewhere. That's why we're here, to serve him. You say, preacher, I know what you're trying to do. You're just trying to get people to do stuff around the church. No, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make sure that we're all right with God. I'm trying to make sure we all have the heart that God wants us to have, the heart of a servant, to serve him. You see, Tychicus was that type of man, and we see this from his activities. So we see, number one, the activities of Tychicus. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Now let's look at the qualities of Tychicus. What was this man like? What exactly what he's like? Well, we find it really primarily because just about everything that's said about this man here in Ephesians chapter 6 is echoed in other places in the scripture when his name is mentioned, primarily in the book of Colossians. But Tychicus, watch this, don't miss this statement. Tychicus did what he did because of who he was. He did the things he did because of the condition of his heart. Notice, if you will, verse 21 again, Ephesians chapter 6. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, here it is, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Notice the qualities that we find listed in our text. I think there's at least three of them here. Notice the first one. He's a beloved brother. A beloved brother. That's a mouthful. You know, it was interesting when I was studying for this message. I did a word search. You know, we use Bible programs to look up words. And I looked up that phrase, beloved brother. And I wanted to see how many people are called beloved brother in the Word of God. That exact phrase. I know God calls people a lot of different things and compliments them in different ways for their faith. But I found something very interesting. This is the first occurrence of that phrase in the entire Bible. The first time it says beloved brother. Now, what does that mean? That phrase tells us two things about this man. Number one, he's saved. He's a brother. He knew the Lord. That's what we talk to. Hey, brother so-and-so, sister so. What does that mean? Because when we get saved, what happens is all of our sins are forgiven. We have a home in heaven, and we, hey, enter into the family of God. Amen. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. This man knew the Lord. There was no question about his salvation. He had a clear, convincing testimony that he was saved. By the way, if you're not saved, you won't want to serve the Lord. If you asked me before I was saved, hey, you want to help out doing this? I'd be like, what? I'm too busy for that stuff. But you know, once a person gets saved, God changes us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he changes us. He gives us that desire in our hearts to please him. Why? Because he died for me, saved my soul. I'm going to heaven because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways I thank our God is I serve him. I give him my life. And I wonder today, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you certain that you know him? Could you say, yes, I am saved. I'm a believer. And give a Bible reason that you know that. He was saved. But you know, I noticed something else. Not only is he a brother, notice he's a beloved brother. This is someone that you wanted to be around. He's a beloved brother. Oh, if you're saved, you're a brother or sister in Christ. But the question is, are you a beloved brother? Now, I know we're beloved, we're loved of God. I don't think that's what he's talking. I think Paul was talking about how he felt about this man. That this is a beloved brother. That word beloved means this, greatly loved. It means dear to the heart. It means well loved. Tychicus was someone that people wanted to be around. Tychicus was someone that was easy to work with. He was someone that was easy to talk to. He was someone that could be easily approached. He was approachable. In other words, he was one of those Christians, and you know them and I know them, and that's hopefully what we are, or at least want to be. He's one of those Christians that was a joy to be around. I mean, it was refreshing when you saw them, when you see them. I mean, nobody avoided Tychicus. Nobody went the other way when they saw him coming. Nobody groaned when they saw he was coming their way. He was a joy to be around. He was a beloved brother. Boy, what a heart condition he had. So I see again, he was a beloved brother. What a good example that is. But then we read that he was also, in verse 21, a faithful minister in the Lord. You know that verse I read in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7 echoes the same sentiment about this man. It says this, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant. They add that one, different than Ephesians chapter 6, in the Lord. In other words, watch this. He was a faithful minister. You say, what does that mean? It means you could depend on him to do what he said he was going to do. You could trust him. Imagine Paul pens these letters. They're inspired letters. And he wants to get them to the churches at Ephesus and to Colossae. And this one delivered to Philemon. And he's thinking, who can I ask? And I know it's not going to mess this thing up. I'm sorry, the dog ate the letter, Paul. Oh, I dropped it somewhere. It got ruined in the rain, or the horse stepped on it, or whatever the case may be. He had to think, who is somebody that's going to understand this is important, and they're going to be faithful? And he said, I got the man, Tychicus. I can depend on him. You see, he was the type of guy that would show up when he said he was going to show up. He was the type of guy that Paul knew would do the job right the first time. That he would be on time. He would be punctual. He wouldn't be the guy you'd have to check up on all the time. He was a faithful minister. By the way, he was not, I repeat, not the man that the psalmist described in Proverbs 25 and verse 19. By the way, if you are a leader or a parent and you have to assign something to someone, you know how it feels when you're trying to do that. Proverbs 25, 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Tychicus wasn't like that. He was a faithful minister. You know, I've also found that you learn a lot about people's character in the ministry. You do. I worked for years in the secular world. I worked in management in the secular world. I was over many people. I had to deal with people most of my lost life. I understand that. But I've also understood in the ministry, you learn a lot more about people's character in the ministry than any other place. You say, why is that? Because for the most part, I'm not talking about those that perhaps get a paycheck for whatever they do. Most of God's work and God's people do it voluntarily. And that's the way most of it is. It's volunteer work. And so unlike a secular job, you can't hold money over a person's head. You can't say, well, your evaluation's coming around and we're not going to give you a raise because you're not doing a good job. Can't do that in the ministry because it's volunteers. You can't hold the job over their head, although you can hold the position over their head. I mean, if it's not their livelihood, you can't. There are no bonuses. There are no raises. Understand something. We're talking about serving the Lord voluntarily, giving my life to God. What you're going to find that it is pure, unadulterated, bare bones character. Christian character. Integrity. You're going to find out what people really are. You know, when I worked down in Atlantic City, I was trying to get out of the business before I was saved because I didn't like the way it was with all the hours you worked, the holidays you worked, and every weekend you worked, and it wasn't very, very helpful for the family and that sort of thing. So I was there a long time, but we thought, you know, let's do something to try to get out of here. So we started a cleaning business. We had that for, I think it was about 9 years, and we did. And so we got to the place, the cleaning business built up, and we were cleaning homes and businesses. We ended up getting contracts with certain companies around. It was really, really good. Praise the Lord for that. But we found out something. When we started to have to hire people, we would have to go through about 30 people to get two that would show up. I mean, just show up. Now we got to get, you know, I mean, how many times do we talk to somebody and say, well, I want this job. I love you. I love it to have this job. I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow comes and it's like, where are they? They're not picking up their phone. Nothing. And I found out something. We had this idea because we got to the place where we had to hire crews and we had to have someone that was kind of a manager over one particular contract we had, and we needed someone to do a good job. So we had the idea, well, if we pay them more, then they'll be better in their character. We found out that's not true. Listen to me. That's not true. You can't buy character. You cannot. If a person doesn't have character for $10 an hour, they're not going to have character for $30 an hour. That doesn't buy character. Your character is who you are in your heart. That's what it is. And I'll tell you, it's revealed greatly in the ministry and volunteer work and how people take the work of God, whether they take it seriously or not. And it's sad. It's sad. And you can't even find people to do certain things. But it's the truth. What's the matter? Something's wrong. We need men like Tychicus. They'll say, you know what? I'm gonna just do what's right and be a faithful minister. So he's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. We haven't fun yet. Number three, he also cared for people. Look at verse 22. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, watch this, and that he might comfort your hearts. Can you see him sitting there across the way from this church? I don't know what the situation was, but it was a church. Ephesus was a pretty good-sized church. I'd imagine he'd come running all the way, or sailing and walking. However he got there, he gets there from Rome. He comes into the church, and he says, I have it. I have the letter from the Apostle Paul. And he stands in front of him. And I believe he just did not read it as some sort of mechanical guy. I imagine he read it with a heart that was behind it, trying to comfort them. Listen, this is from the Apostle Paul, and things are going well. He wants to thank you for what you've done and what you're doing, and he wants you to keep going. And he's going to talk to you about what you have in Christ. He's going to talk to you about living the Christian life here in this place. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. I can see him kind of ministering to them that way because he cared for people. By the way, that is the ministry. It is. Caring for people. That's what we're here for. Caring for their souls. You see, there's no way for a Christian to truly serve the Lord if they don't care for people. If they don't care for people. Now watch this. But truly caring for people is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. You don't have it in you to care for people. You don't. Hey, I got the same flesh you do. Let's put a little recorder maybe in your car as you're driving around town and the things that we say and find out what's going on in our heart, really. Or someone cuts in front of you in line, or you're about 10 people in line and waiting on the cashier, and someone opens up and points you and say, "Sir, why don't you come on up?" And you go over there, and four or five people race over there, cut in front of you. Well, that's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Man, I'll tell you, everything in me wants to say something smart. It really does. But you can't. How do we do it? It's a supernatural thing. You and I cannot do it in our flesh. Romans 5:5. Let me say this statement. It's only when our hearts are right with God that we can show Christ's love to people. That's the only way. If you're having a problem with a person or with people and you are saved, your heart's not right with God. Guilty many times. It's true. I can't look at what they're doing and point to them. I have to look at what is going on in my heart and my walk with God. Because the Bible clearly says in Romans 5:5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." If I am filled with the Holy Spirit, then my life will be a life of loving others. 1 John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." It's a constant yielding to the Lord. But Tychicus was one of those men, a beloved brother, a faithful minister. He comforted people's hearts. Boy, why don't we hear more about people like this? And then number three, and we're done. Not only the activity of Tychicus, not only the qualities of Tychicus, but thirdly and lastly, the necessity of Tychicus. Do you know that God's work needs men like Paul? And it needs men like Tychicus. Not everybody can be a Paul. Not everybody can be a Tychicus. When I say Paul, I'm talking about the guy that maybe stand up before people and teaches a lesson or preaches a sermon or does this or that. There are people that are called to do that. Not everybody is. There are many that are called to be a Tychicus. Do you know, in order for me to do this, the perhaps dozen people that have to be involved in making this service happen? We have people in the nursery right now watching kids. We have people working the sound right here. They're dealing with the internet and the radio and all of that. We have people ushering here. We have people that go out inviting people to church, knocking on doors on Saturday to get people here to reach them with the gospel. There can't be just a guy that stands up and says things. There must be one. But there must be guys like Tychicus too. And we need them. We need them. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't have time to do that. But the body, the church body is the head is Jesus Christ, and all of us have a part. Everybody has a part. Just like a body functions, a church is supposed to function, and every part is necessary. Some parts are seen, some parts are not seen. If I did not have a heart pumping right now, and I'm glad it is, praise the Lord for that. You say the way you're preaching up here may stop in a few moments. May so. But we have nurses here that will help me out with it. Thank the Lord. But without that, I couldn't do what I do. It's the same with the church. We need Pauls. But we need men like Tychicus. Here's the problem. There are actually people that say this. Well, if I can't be a Paul, I'm not going to be a Tychicus. I want to be a Paul. I want to be the guy that stands up there. I want to be the guy that teaches the Sunday school class. I want to be the leader. I want to be the guy that makes the decisions around this place. I want to be that. Well, maybe God doesn't want you to be that. And if he doesn't, there's nothing wrong with the fact he doesn't. It doesn't mean you're lesser of a person. It just means that's not what you're called to do. But don't fold your arms and say, well, if I can't do that, I'm folding up my tent and going home, and I'll just come and sit and listen and sour and soak and complain about things. Don't be like that. Everybody should be either a Paul or a Tychicus. And if you're not, something's wrong. The Christian life is more than just attending church. Well, I went to church. Praise the Lord. I'm not mocking that. And I'm glad you're here. Believe me, I'm glad you're here. But that's not it. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is when you come to church, you get what you need, and we go out and we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord in ministries here. We serve the Lord out there. We reach people with the gospel. We serve him. Everybody should be doing something through their local church. If you're not, something's wrong. Something's wrong. But the truth of the matter is, as you've heard it, 10% of the people in a church do 90% of the work. They do. Why is that? Where is Tychicus? Where is he? Where's a bunch of them that say, you know what, preacher, if you want me to just come, I had somebody one time come to me and say this. I wanted to click my heels together. They said, preacher, would you mind if every week, once a week, I come and I just clean up the trash around this property every week? I said, you'd be willing to do that? I said, yeah. I said, praise the Lord. That's a help. Somebody's got to do it. And that person, now he's not here now, but that person did it for years. And nobody knew. Nobody knew. Well, the property's nice and clean around here. Yeah. You know why? Tychicus. You know, we find all the things that are wrong, but we're not willing to be a Tychicus to help things out. He was. I'm going to close with this, and I know we're done here. Last Monday, we went up to the revival meeting to see Brother Sam Davison. He finished with us on that Wednesday, I think it was, and so we had a little bit of time, so we thought, let's go up to Elkin, just see him preach. Had a couple folks from the church go. Didn't want to announce it, because I wasn't sure if we were going to make it or not. We just thought, if we can get it in, let's go. We did. We went up there, and during the service, it came time for the offering. Now, many of you know Dr. Schindler. He's preached here. Dr. Schindler was the pastor at Landmark Baptist Church. He was the president of Northeast Baptist School of Theology. He preached regional sword conferences, well-known in independent fundamental Baptist circles. Of course, he's getting older, and he attends that church up there. And so we're there at the church, and they're going through the announcements, and say, it's now time for the offering. And so I'm sitting there, and the ushers come forward, and guess who walks by is Dr. Schindler. And he walks up, and he stands with a plate, ready to take the offering. My flesh said this. Couldn't he get somebody else to do that? I mean, all these other people that are here, this man's, I mean, he's, you know, pastor for decades, preached regional sword conferences. But then the Lord rebuked me in a sense and said this, he's being a Tychicus. He's just saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If it's an usher, that's fine. And he was happy about it. He was all happy about it. And that taught me a lesson. You know, every pastor can't do everything. He can't preach and do this and visit and do all that, clean the bathrooms and all that. But he should be willing to. He should be willing to. It's not beneath me to dump the trash or to clean a toilet or do something like that. And it shouldn't be beneath any of us. How are we going to reach this world? How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to reach the lost? Everybody has to put in, chip in, and do something. Imagine if we did. So, well, I'd like to be a Paul. Well, maybe God, would you be willing to be a Tychicus today? Would you be willing to say, you know what, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. As simple as it may seem, if I'm contributing to your work, I'll faithfully do it. Not just say some emotional thing, oh yeah, I'll do it. Then 2 weeks later, there's trash all over the place and you don't show up anymore. No, you're Tychicus. You say, I'll do it, and I'll do it, and I'll do it, and I'll do it as long as I can. You willing to do that? If you're not a Paul, would you be willing to be Tychicus? Did everything and anything for God. That's the way it ought to be for all of us. Let's pray.